Where do you see your career in 10 years? What are you doing now to help you get there? The sooner you start enhancing your skills, the sooner you'll be ready. That's why AARP has reskilling courses in a variety of categories like marketing and management to help your income live as long as you do.
That's right. AARP has a bevy of free skill building courses for you to choose from because the steps that you choose to take today will help you to love what you do in the future. And that's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/skills. In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Hala talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're talking EV apathy, tax penalties, and inflation is your fault.
Personal over there, is inflation my fault or is it our fault collectively?
To Andy in Utah, Suzanne in Wisconsin, just a few specific people, it's your fault.
These are How to Money listeners that you're singling out.
That's right.
Not cool. No, this is our Friday flight. We're going to talk about the most important personal finance stories that we've come across this week, the ones that we think that you need to pay attention to. But so speaking of individual listeners, man, let's give a quick shout out to Rihanna. She sent us some macarons, the little French.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Macaron.
The French president.
Not macaroons, which are like the coconut cookie things or whatever. No, the nice little French cookies.
Incredibly well made.
She is a phenomenal baker. Sent us some beers, but also included some of her handiwork.
This time of year, it's like so to get a baked gift in the mail feels like the greatest little thing in the world.
So it include like an Irish car bomb, peanut butter and jelly, a cookies and cream version. You've tried all of them at this point.
They were all delicious.
Right. Which one, do you have a favorite?
Probably the car bomb version that she made.
Oh yeah,
but I don't know, the cookies and cream, so they were all so good.
I like the PB&J.
That was good too.
I'm kind of a basic child at heart.
Yeah,
but I thought they were awesome. Anyway,
does she have a chicken nugget version?
Chicken nuggies. She's on Instagram at baker_RHI_LANC. Give her a follow.
Yeah, we'll link to it in the show notes. But yeah, big thanks to Ree for sending that our way. They were delicious. We really appreciate it.
I'm still snacking on them. Every day I eat one before I hop on the bike and go home.
Yeah, I share mine with my family. You chose not to. I told my kids that and they were like, that doesn't sound like Mr. Matt.
And I was
like,
love to share with my family, but simultaneously we have lots of sweets and stuff at home and they're not going to appreciate it as much as I do. They're just going to see a bunch of sweets, whereas I know that this is a listener and we've answered her question on the show. Like, I feel like we've got a connection.
You're connected to these sweets.
Yes, and they're also my fuel, and it powers me on my way home. We'll share a picture of some of her handiwork up on our Instagram account.
For sure. Sounds good. But Matt, before we get to the Friday flight, I want to ask you one question. During the Black Friday deals, I bought almost nothing, but one thing I did purchase was a subscription to Hulu because it was 99 cents a month for 12 months.
It was a heck of a deal.
That's crazy cheap. Even if we watch two things on there, it'll have paid for itself. But then on top of that, you could add on Disney Plus for $2 a month. And I was like, okay, cool. Well, our Disney Plus subscription is ending. Let me take the deal on Disney Plus too. $2 a year. That's $24 for the whole year. Not too bad to get both those services, right? But the last Disney Plus plan we had was commercial free. And this one has commercials. And so the kids are revolting. I guess my question for you is, was that frugal, cheap,
did you
or Grinchy, maybe?
Did you know that it included the ads?
Yes.
Okay. So you willingly entered into this agreement.
Yeah, because the savings were steep.
Man, I am so conflicted when it comes to advertisements, especially with kids, because like as adults, we are a little more immune to the impact that ads can have on us. Like I'm not
or at least we think we are.
I don't know. I view myself slightly more advanced and mature than my children when it comes to advertisements being placed
in front
of
me. You're like the Dwight Schrute of How to Money, we'd say.
So I guess it's worth giving it a shot. What's difficult is that they have experienced a taste of like the good life.
Yep.
And now you've walked it back. Whereas had they never experienced it to begin with, I think they would be totally fine, say, you know, being exposed to ads and having their shows delayed, that kind of thing.
Tough to put the genie back in the bottle, but
yes,
I'm trying to do it.
Anytime you are exposed to some sort of luxury or convenience, it is difficult to kind of walk those things back. But I hear you, though, when it comes to kids. It makes me think about our brakes on our van have been squealing. And recently the kids were like, can you do something about that? Because when you pull up to pick us up, it squeaks and they're getting embarrassed. And so I guess this is a larger question about, when do we choose to make purchases or spend extra money to save, you know, just to make our kids feel better, I guess. I don't know. I'm sure it depends on the individual. It depends on the kid. It depends on just how you view
that. I told them if they keep complaining, they're sleeping outside. So, and it's getting cold. They don't want to do that. But no, I mean, I think they'll get over it. And, you know,
and your kids will get over those ads.
Significant chunk of change that we saved on that streaming service. So I was glad I did it, even if they're giving me crap for it. But Matt, let's move on. Let's get to the Friday Flight. It's a quick sampling of stories we found interesting this week that pertain to your personal finances. And I don't know about you, Matt. Have you put up your Christmas lights? Or do you have Christmas lights this year?
No, we don't have any.
No Christmas lights.
We just have the greenery with a red bow under each window.
Going tasteful, low-key.
Low-key.
Yeah.
Well, although I do want to get lights, because you see lights, and if a house is done up real well at night, of course you can see it. You can't see the regular decorations.
Yeah. I'm a fan of lights. We didn't put them up last year because we had just moved in not too long before, but this year we were like, we got to do it.
You got your red lights up. They look really
the
good.
Red, yeah. We look like we're in the red light district in Amsterdam, but do not come a calling for that in my house. But with utility bills on the rise, I think some folks might be wondering, Matt, like how much it's going to cost them to turn on the lights every night. And the truth is, it's not very much. I did see the stat, though. Apparently, we use more energy running Christmas lights in the United States than El Salvador uses to power everything in their country in a given year, which is kind of crazy. But still, you know, the reality is that turning on your lights is not going to cost you much at all. If we're talking LED bulbs, at least, right?
Yes.
It used to be a lot more expensive, but it's become a lot cheaper thanks to LED bulbs, which use like 90% less electricity than traditional bulbs used to.
It's significant.
So, significant savings. So running 5 strands of LED bulbs for 6 hours each day for the month of December will set you back roughly $9. That's not bad. And it almost, Matt, it almost, I know some people keep up their Christmas decorations year round, and I used to scoff at that. I don't know. I'm kind of leaning more into that camp. I understand it, and I might become one of those people at some point.
Well, the problem is your bulbs are red, so you can see them. You can see them up on your trim even during the day, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so if there were...
I actually leave my lights on during the day, even though you can't see.
Oh, wait, talk about somebody who's seems like he's flush with cash over here.
Might cost me an extra $5.
No, so my favorite part of this article, they referenced a study by a power company, and they calculated how much it would have cost the Griswolds. So from Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, how much it would have cost them back in the day, because, of course, back then they didn't have LEDs, so they were rocking the traditional incandescent bulbs, and it was something like $7,500 for the month of December.
Ouch.
That is a ton of money versus if they made a 2023 remake and he used all LED bulbs, it would just be it would actually be around $1,500, which is a massive savings if you wanted to light up the neighborhood.
There's this one house that we always stop at, and they've got like tons and tons of lights up. It's in between our house and my parents' house, and they actually have like a donation box for like electricity costs. So I put a fiber in there.
Back in the day, it certainly made a ton of sense.
And we stop by to look at it at least 4 or 5 times during the season, so we definitely have to pay them a little bit.
I love it. Well, maybe you can
turn into that house someday.
Or just like show them some coupons where they can upgrade to LED bulbs. Which is, so you got your own
sale
last year.
Well, even if they're using LEDs, but if they're spending $1,500, they deserve $5
from
me.
Yeah, that's true, I guess, over the course of a month. Okay, so since we're talking electricity, let's pivot to electric vehicles, because it seems like EVs are falling out of favor with basically everyone. So government mandates, they're trying to spur. They're trying to force some EV adoption. But consumers in the U.S. aren't as on board as, say, the Norwegians,
for instance.
Yeah, they've, I think, of all the cars that were sold in 2022, 88% of them were electric vehicles.
Wow, that's like 5X, even California.
Gangbusters, man. Yeah. But there's a new survey from Consumer Reports. They found that EVs aren't as reliable as their internal combustion engine counterparts. So maybe that's just one of the reasons why a lot of folks here in the U.S. Aren't taking to them as much as the Norwegians. But the big winner in that latest survey is actually straight up hybrids. So folks, they of course want to spend less on gas, but they're not completely sold on EVs yet as the solution for them. It makes sense as well because the infrastructure isn't completely there yet. We don't have like the range that maybe folks were hoping for at this point in time. So what should our response be? Well, EVs, they still cost a pretty penny, with maybe the exception of the Bolt and some of the recent Tesla price cuts. And even though EVs have a bright future, I guess we'd say that they kind of have a murky and expensive present. Right? Yeah. It's costing a lot of money, and some of the problems that folks are going to encounter are actually more abundant than folks were expecting.
Yeah, who would have thought the lowly Prius kind of would stand out kind of amongst modern car offerings? It's been around a long time, but man, that thing keeps chugging. And for anybody who's owned a Prius knows, this thing is like a workhorse, right?
You know,
and all it does is save me money on gasoline.
You know their plug-in Priuses as well?
Oh, yeah. The Prius Prime, maybe, is that what it's called?
Yes. They've got like the Prime line, and we've slowly started talking about what it would look like to have a second vehicle. Like, what kind of car vehicle would that be? And we're thinking, man, it makes sense to get something as small and cheap to run as possible. And when I've discovered that, because I've been lamenting the fact that that there's only one van manufacturer that makes a plug-in van, and it's a Chrysler. And Chrysler, I mean, they're like at the bottom of the heap when it comes to reliability.
Yeah.
So that also gives me pause.
For sure. Well, yeah, these are interesting stats. It's noteworthy to mention these problems with electric vehicles, and that yet they're still being pushed on us, and a lot of people are balking. And I drove a Nissan Leaf for 6 years, so I'm not anti-EV. There's a lot I like about them, but there's also a lot of potential EV development happening with like let's say Toyota solid state batteries. That could change the game in a few years. So maybe people are also saying, wait a second, the technology is changing really quickly. I don't know that I necessarily want to adopt an electric vehicle right now.
Just yet. Maybe let's wait until the range doubles due to those solid state batteries.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the lack of maintenance because their EVs are kind of like glorified golf carts, that's really nice. And I think that's a benefit of electric vehicles. But these car manufacturers are still figuring things out, and they don't have the EV production dialed in, at least a lot of them. And they certainly don't have profitability dialed in on electric vehicles either. That's going to take time. But I think it is important to remember that the EV tax incentive is going to be around for years to come. So there's not even a rush to snag one right away, right? But then on the flip side, the how dour the EV market is right now offers the potential to score a lower price. And there was this article in Bloomberg about why now is actually the best time to buy an EV. And that's because they're kind of stacking up on dealer lots unloved. So I guess all that to be said, if you're not necessarily in the market for an EV, nothing should probably push you over the edge into that. But if you are considering one, well, and you're targeting one of the cheaper models, there have been significant sticker price discounts. Those are becoming the norm, not the exception. The Kona, for instance, the Hyundai Kona, it's like 31% off MSRP locally where we are, Matt. And so for a while, it was like even getting a Bolt or a Kona for MSRP was laughable. But now, there's significant discounts on a lot of these models.
Yeah, so on a related note, gas prices have dropped a decent bit over the past few months, which is contributing to that all-important inflation number coming down. And that is despite the geopolitical messes that would normally lead to higher prices for Americans at the pump. So just think a war in the Middle East. That would typically have a massive impact on what it is that we're paying for our gasoline.
Has in the past.
Yeah, so why aren't oil and gas prices going up? Well, that's because U.S. oil production has actually reached record highs. We're basically a bigger player on the world stage when it comes to the supply of fossil fuels. We've doubled our production over the past decade, which isn't something that I think
not many people were predicting.
We're familiar with. Yeah. We actually produce more oil now than Saudi Arabia, like almost twice as much. And we actually consume less than we produce. So we're certainly excited about the growing impact of green energy technology that's advancing electric vehicles in particular. But fossil fuels are still a necessity, and our growing production is creating a more consumer-friendly market with fewer price shocks. So that's something we can all be thankful for.
For sure. Agreed. All right. On the note of going green and end of year taxes, Matt, we should maybe mention that there are still tax credits available for energy efficiency upgrades. We did a deep dive on that in episode 656, but now is kind of a time where you might say, wait a second, let me put some insulation in the attic so I can get a tax break before the end of the year and ensure some additional savings through the winter, right, by having that insulation on hand, curbing your electricity or natural gas usage, right? And so, yeah, there, like, I actually took advantage of this in this fall, Matt. I put in insulation. I put in a mini split this year. And so I just want to mention to be...
Get 30% off those bad boys.
30% off, man. That's a steep discount. But be sure to read the fine print on energy tax credits, because there's a cap on specific projects and there's a maximum tax credit that you can get in a specific year. The max that you can get in 1 year is $3,200. So splitting up those projects over the course of multiple years in order to maximize your tax benefit would be wise. And start with the low-hanging fruit too, right? Don't just go start replacing your windows for much more energy-efficient ones. Windows are one of the more expensive things to replace. Insulation is one of the easy, cheap things. So maybe start there, but eventually you might want to work up to windows. I don't know.
Speak for yourself. I'm going to go straight to the small residential wind turbine to to create a little extra juice.
Your neighbors will love you.
Our household. Okay, since we're talking about taxes, we had good news to offer last week when it came to the IRS, but we got bad news this week. Rising interest rates, they have led to higher penalties if you pay your taxes late, if you underpay specifically your estimates. So 2 years ago, if you underpaid your taxes, you paid a measly 3% penalty.
Not too bad.
But now you're going to be hit with an 8% penalty, which is huge. Mostly applies to self-employed individuals, but it could also impact W-2 workers as well, like in particular folks who either started a small business like on the side and they weren't accounting for the income generated there, or if you are 100% working at your 9-to-5, but maybe you got a big bonus. Mm-hmm. In those instances, there is additional money that the IRS is looking for. And so the way that you avoid this penalty is by adjusting your withholdings to make sure that you're paying enough tax through the year, specifically if you're a W-2 employee. And then for all the self-employed folks out there, just err on the side of caution, where you're making sure that you're paying at least 90% of the tax that you owe for the current year. And if you find that your income has risen substantially as a self-employed person, just reassess your payments without diving into the weeds. If you know you're going to make more this year than last year, you just need to make sure that you're paying 100% of the tax that you owed last year. Mm-hmm. That is, of course, unless you are a single filer and you're making at least $75,000, or if you're married, filing jointly, and you're making at least $150,000. In those cases, if you're making more this year compared to last year, you want to make sure you're paying 110% of what you paid last year. So pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
But there is...
Straightforward, but also means there's some math involved and you have to pay attention to the details. Yeah.
Luckily, the IRS, they've got a calculator, though, where you can go in there, you can enter in your wages and information from previous years to know where you stand. That way, you can make sure that you avoid this pretty big 8% penalty, man. Yeah. That's not cool.
A 3% penalty feels like a slap on the wrist. An 8% penalty feels like a slap in the face. Yeah. And like, I don't want the slap in the face.
No.
I want to avoid that. So I'm going to pay Uncle Sam what I owe them in order to avoid having to pay more money that I don't want to go into their hands. I want to stay in my pocket. So that's a really important thing to mention. Thanks for bringing that up. But Matt, we got more to get to on this episode, including that story about inflation being our fault. Is that true or is it gaslighting? We'll talk about that right after this. Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. They are committed to high ethical standards and even had to pass a rigorous exam before they could become a CFP professional.
They offer financial planning and services that take a more comprehensive view of your financial and personal circumstances and are customized for your needs. Certified financial planner professionals can offer advice on a wide range of issues like reviewing your investment portfolio's allocation, handling an inheritance, rolling over a company retirement plan, building education savings, and so much more.
That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org. I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach. Every single summer, we've already got that trip to St. Simon's on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host. Or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. And now a word from the show sponsors at Betterment. Do you want your money to dream big? Do you want your money to be a total self-starter? Are you annoyed that your money doesn't work hard enough? Don't worry. Betterment is here to help.
Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Their automated technology is built to help maximize returns, meaning when you invest with Betterment, your money can auto-adjust as you get closer to your goal. Rebalance if your portfolio gets too far out of line and your dividends are automatically reinvested. That can increase the potential for compound returns. In other words, your money is breaking a sweat while you can be breaking bread. You'll never picture your money the same way again.
Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
All right, dude, we are back, and it is now time for the ludicrous headline of the week. This one comes...
My favorite time of the week.
Yeah, that's mine as well. The Atlantic is where we got this one. It's quite provocative, and we basically already said the headline, the name of the article. Inflation is your fault. I think the subhead was, if everyone is so mad about high prices, why do they keep buying expensive things? And as usual, there's some truth to the claim of this headline. To a certain extent, we have control over the money that we are spending.
Yeah, there's a kernel of truth here.
Yeah, but it's also incredibly reductionist. Americans aren't very happy about how much prices have risen. Actually, there is a recent poll that found that most folks would rather see prices fall than to see their wages increase. But should we actually blame them for these higher prices? Well, author Amy Lowry over at The Atlantic, she says that the answer is yes. But let's be real. Inflation is the result of many factors, like several things coming together that are out of our control. Let's just mention a few. COVID, the stimmy checks, supply chain issues, all those snarls. The container ships that were all parked off the coast of California back in the day. Just different wars in other parts of the world. To put inflation at the feet of us consumers who are spending money that was just thrust into our hands, it feels a bit disingenuous. And you said before the break, you called it like gaslighting, but it's not like they're trying to even confuse us about it and like think that we're crazy. It's like victim blaming, essentially. Like, it makes me think about, like, an analogy would be like if you've got your dog, you know those retractable leashes?
Yeah.
They get like really, really long.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, why does my dog always like take off running? And they're like 20 feet of, well, you got the retractable leash, man. Like, if you had a 6-foot leash, then your dog would stay near you. But if you're going to give us as consumers that much leeway, that much slack, well, of course, we're going to explore and see all the fun things that we can sniff.
Especially Americans, right? And so I completely agree with you, Matt. I think inflation is a result of all of those other things for the most part. But again, there's that kernel of truth, right? And so Annie isn't completely wrong in her assessment here either. And one line from her article, she says, people hate inflation, just not enough to spend less. And that is spot on too, right? We've talked about how everybody individually experiences inflation and it's relative. So much depends on how you spend money specifically. And so let's say you bought a new car last year, you bought a new house too. Your personal rate of inflation was significantly higher than the generic CPI number, right?
Safe to say.
Yeah. So refusing to pay higher prices is a real way to combat inflation, at least in your own life, right? You can't do that on every single front. And none of us can single-handedly combat inflationary realities altogether, right? Like, but there's also kind of a bit of Captain Planet in this, right? Where our powers combine help us to achieve something that would otherwise be impossible alone.
What was the following line after, with our powers combined?
We are Captain Planet. I think that's what it was. Yeah.
I was thinking we can prevent forest fires, but that's a whole other mascot.
Yeah, I guess I think the more we balk at expensive prices, like flights, concert tickets in particular right now, Grubhub, electric vehicles even, whatever it is, the less we're going to pay for those things in the future, the more those companies are forced to reckon with this new reality. When we kind of walk with our dollars, it matters. And it's not that we can affect this global massive change, but we can affect change in our own lives. And that small drop in the bucket does matter. It makes a difference. So I don't know, I guess I'm going to give this Atlantic article 2.5 stars on the truthiness meter.
on the Colbert Report truthiness meter.
Exactly.
No, I'm totally with you. And this kind of makes me like back at the beginning of the episode when we're talking about going back to commercials. It's putting the toothpaste back in the tube. It's putting the cat back in the bag. Once we've experienced a taste of what it's like to not have to experience those things, it's difficult to walk it back. And as American, like, I feel like our country has gotten soft and we avoid doing the hard things. And oftentimes we are willing to spend whatever it takes to achieve the results of those typically hard actions that would otherwise it would have taken. There's a lot of luxury and comfort now that we've gotten used to. And man, it's really difficult to dial that back unless you've got not only Joel as your parent, but maybe as president. Who knows? Dictator.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think once you've lived in a single-family home, it's hard to go back to apartment living, you know?
Yes. Okay, so there was another interesting headline from Axios last week titled, "Why You Shouldn't Give to Charity." But like usual, the internet loves a splashy, contrarian headline without the follow-through. The actual heart of this article was quite helpful. It was explaining how many Americans would be better off donating appreciated stock instead of cash. And that's totally true. We'll link to the article explaining the details. They gave a great example. But tax savings could be significant. For instance, $1,000 on a donation of $3,000 if you were to donate appreciated stocks instead of money, just straight up cash from your checking or your savings account. We touched on this with Sean on Wednesday. As far as donating appreciated stocks rather than actual cash. But the fact is, this does benefit a minority of folks. Like, more folks are probably working on getting their Roth IRAs fully maxed out. And you can't, like, there's no capital gains when it comes to Roth IRAs because you pay the tax on the front end.
It's like a rich people maneuver.
Yeah, but hey, we're talking to the How to Money listeners, man. Over time, more and more folks are going to find themselves saying, oh, I'm going to invest a little more money in my brokerage account and the ability to funnel some of those dollars towards charities and then to essentially replace those donated stocks with new purchases of that ETF, and specifically, that is the way to go.
Yep.
It's not something that we've talked a whole lot about, but it is good to know that that is an option. I do think it's something that we'll talk about more here on the show.
At least some How to Money listeners benefit from hearing this information because they qualify because they have money. Their accounts have gone up, especially this year. And if they're saying, oh, I want to give to my favorite charity, well, maybe it makes sense to give some of those appreciated securities instead of just giving money, writing a check or you know, tossing a donation from your savings account.
Agreed. Totally.
And I would say giving is great, but giving efficiently is even better, right? And so you can even donate those appreciated securities to your donor advised fund, which we've talked about a decent bit here on the show. It's one of the best ways to proceed with your plans for generosity, in our opinion. And we'll link to articles about donor advised funds in the show notes that can help you kind of parse through whether or not they make sense for you and how effective they can be. But don't forget, only about 10 to 12% of households itemize deductions. And if you don't itemize your deductions, you don't get a tax benefit from giving money away. And so this is probably, again, Matt, this a higher percentage of How to Money listeners qualify for this because of their financial prowess. But we suggest generosity, even if it doesn't come with a tax break. Still, jumping through these hoops, it's not going to provide you any sort of benefit from Uncle Sam if that's the case. If you are taking the standard deduction, you don't get a tax benefit. It still doesn't mean it's a dumb idea.
Exactly. Yeah. We love for folks to give money away because it changes your attitude. It changes your posture towards money. And that's especially helpful for us to do. I mean, money is what we talk about here on the show. And so because of that, I feel like it's extra risk, not risky, but it's something we have to be careful of.
Yeah.
We've got a dollar sign on our wall over here. And so it could be easy when you've got a show that's called How to Money for us to become overly focused on actual dollars.
You can have like a tractor beam sort of pull.
Yeah. 100%, man. Okay. So the opposite of giving to charity is spending money like there's no tomorrow while scrolling TikTok. That's happening. TikTok Shop only launched in September. And as the LA Times put it, TikTok Shop is dangerously good at getting us to spend our money. We're spending just shy. I'm not going to say we because I'm not spending my money on TikTok Shop.
Me neither.
That's one good reason to avoid it. But Americans are spending just shy of $10 million a day now on the site while they're receiving pitches from influencers that they've been following for a while. So what you need to do is keep in mind that your feed is curated. TikTok, they know so much about you. Honestly, it would be helpful if we had as much information as TikTok does about our loved ones.
Oh my gosh.
I wish we did.
The perfect present for
I know.
Them.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. I was like, man, TikTok knows exactly what to feed me. If only we could, like.
Well, they would if you were on the, on the platform.
Instagram does a really good job with it as well. But the fact that they have so much data on us as consumers means that they're incredibly adept at using that data, that information, to pry money from your fingers.
Yeah.
And it might be a deal, but do you necessarily need to buy that thing? Most likely no.
And sometimes it's not a deal. And I will say the creators who are pitching these items are getting a cut, right? And so it might seem like they're just normal folks who live down the street from you. Oh, that's just the kid next door who got this acne medication that's working perfectly for him. But maybe he's making 10, 20 grand a month selling this stuff to his followers.
Is Proactive back? Because that was the thing. When I was a teenager, I was like, oh, how do I get my hands on that? Get rid of these blemishes.
It was just because the cool celebrities were pitching it. That's why, right?
Were there celebrities?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I don't remember that. I just remember thinking, looks like that stuff works.
I think Jessica Simpson's sister was one of them.
Oh.
She was, yeah.
She was the dark-haired one.
Celebrity in her own right, I guess. But yeah. but it's hard to know, right, whether the person you're following, what they're mentioning, is it because they really enjoy, appreciate that thing? Or is it because they're making money by getting you to click and purchase? And I would lean towards the latter in a whole lot of cases. So some of them are making just significant amounts of money from those pitches. TikTok, Matt, to me, feels like the new QVC equivalent. Amazon too. Amazon's got elements of that as well. What's old is new again. And so it's just updated for the modern age. Just be careful when you're scrolling out there, folks. And less time in general scrolling is going to be better for you for so many reasons. But particularly from a financial perspective now, given the number of pitches and the amount of people trying to sell you things, the more you can avoid the gauntlet, the arena that's trying to sell you stuff all the time, the better off you're going to be.
I get it. Yeah. And what you said too about limiting your time, that's something I've actually done recently. Like a few weeks ago, I finally navigated through the settings and instituted a screen time limit specifically on Instagram, because that's my social media app of choice, I guess. And after 15 minutes of use during that day, the little screen pops up and just tells me, hey, your time's up. I love it. It's freaking awesome.
Could you go in there and override yourself?
Oh, yeah. It tells you, you're like right there, like your time is up.
But you have enough discipline to avoid that.
Yeah. Well, because I know that at some point I said, okay, it seems like if I'm on social media more than 15 minutes catching up on all my story, you know, all my feeds or whatever, that's just stupid. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And you know what it has done? It has caused me to, we're talking about curation, but it's caused me to cut the different folks I keep up with, because.
So you can see the.
The stuff that you actually care about.
Yeah.
It keeps it lean.
I noticed you stopped following me the other day. That's messed up. I don't really post anything.
You post nonstop. Yeah, yeah, the less you post, the more likely I am to actually. Yeah.
I post once a year.
Hang on to you.
There you go.
Okay, so essentially the battle for our dollars, that's kind of what we're talking about here with social media and them trying to pitch stuff to us. It only reinforces the need for financial literacy in our country. And the good news is that more states are requiring a financial literacy class in high school. And what that means is the number of students who will be required to learn about personal finance before graduation is going to skyrocket over the next few years. New research shows just how effective these classes can be, improving credit scores, lowering loan delinquency rates, avoiding predatory financial products like payday loans, stuff like that. And one class in high school, it's not likely going to create a bunch of personal finance Einsteins, but it's at least an important step in the right direction. On one hand, I wish that these classes weren't necessary, because truly when it comes to personal finance, it can be summed up in like one sentence: spend less money than you make and invest the rest.
That would be your class, and then you'd let the kids like play on their laptops.
All right, y'all just party. But it's not like 1945 anymore, right? Like there are more, like we live in a more complex technical world. And like we were just talking about with social media, there are so many different ways where it feels like we're getting almost like tricked into spending our money, or led in a direction to not invest in the most optimal way. I'm thinking of Robinhood a few years ago. Now, they offer IRAs, but they didn't used to.
Or even just go into some financial advisors who will massively overcharge you. And so,
there's
a reason we've done 750 plus episodes, because there's a lot to talk about
there's a lot of nuance
on the money front.
It turns out.
Okay, so I'm going to give a little hot take here, Matt. I think you're going to probably disagree with me. If you had to ditch any one high school class in order to incorporate personal finance classes, what would it be? My answer is Latin. It's a dead language. Let's get rid of it altogether. Let's bury it. Let's be done with it.
Of course, I'm going to disagree with you, with Latin being the mother of all languages, Joel, as someone who took Latin, not only in high school, but also in college.
You're going to axe French then? What you going to do?
I would axe the most, honestly, probably the classes that the kids are most excited about, like more the computer science classes. The reason being is because whatever they're learning is probably going to be completely out of date by the time they even graduate with how quickly technology is advancing. And when it comes to, man, I'm going to get so much hate from from all the programmers out there, but just look at what AI is doing when it comes to coding. I think there is a foundation of computer science, perhaps, that's important. But when it comes to maybe things that seem a little more current within the computer science space,
probably not as necessary in elementary school. Or
yeah.
I guess we're talking about high school.
Like middle and high. Yeah. I feel like perhaps those might get cut. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, and when you think about it, personal finance, something we use.
I'm not taking a hard stand on that, all right, folks?
Something we use every day. Send your hate mail to Matt. It's something you use every day, and some of these other things you definitely don't.
Sure.
That's for sure. But I'm glad to see progress in this regard. I'm glad to see more folks, more students being required to do this. I mean, this needs to be nationwide, all 50 states, hopefully sooner rather than later. But Matt, before we get out of here, we got to give a newsletter referral shout out to Stacy. If you give if you refer to the How to Money newsletter to three friends, you get a shout out here. And then if you keep going, there are other benefits that you can incur, like free How to Money swag, our delightful socks. Just Stacy, keep going. You'll get there. But yeah, thank you for referring your friends to the How to Money newsletter. We appreciate it.
We might even like lower the threshold because I feel
we
like
we might need to.
Yeah, the socks. I don't want it to feel so unattainable and so out of reach that folks are just like, I'm never going to be able to get some socks.
Yeah.
So we'll make sure to let folks know. Let y'all know if we do lower that threshold.
And if you're not signed up for the How to Money newsletter, what are you doing?
It's amazing.
HowToMoney.com/newsletter. It's wonderful.
Every Tuesday morning, you can expect to find it there in your inbox. But dude, that's going to be it for this episode. We hope everyone has a fantastic weekend. And until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.